a number of years, I heard a lot of people tell me how it was never going to go up in value, it was never going to go anywhere because of the location and where it is. And I kept that property, I think it was for close to 10 years, and it almost tripled when I sold it in that time frame. So, you know, I learned very quickly that, you know, the property goes up everywhere across a good capital city like Melbourne.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyron Shum, and in this episode, we're chatting with Mark Rybuski, head buyer's agent of Wise Real Estate Advice. We'll follow his journey from buying his first investment property at the age of 18 to strategizing his way to produce funds for his next development project, and find out how you can create wealth through entering the property investing game. Also, before we delve into this episode, go over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property investor case studies, where you'll learn how to generate passive income from your properties. Go there now to sign up for free. Rybuski runs a successful buyer's agent in South Bank, Melbourne, and offers a range of options for property investors.
I own a buyer's agency in South Bank, Melbourne, called Wise Real Estate Advice, and we basically offer buyer's agency services to people that are looking for buying property across Melbourne, whether it's their first home or a home to live in, investment properties, and we service a whole range of different clients. So we basically have local people that are just wanting to get into the market. We've got our interstate buyers and many international buyers as well. A few other types of services that we offer that are quite unique to our agency is basically like dual occupancy type of properties where investors can come in and try and purchase properties where, you know, once we kind of do a little bit of magic in the sense of doing a project for someone for a dual occupancy, they can actually have a property that's positive gearing. So that's something that's quite unique to our agency. We've offered that to a number of clients where we're able to give them that service for helping them, I guess, subdivide and build. We've been operating for just over 5 years now, and we've got a number of buyer's agents that work with us as well. We also have a property management team for the properties that we purchase for people. So, yeah.
So firstly, what does Rybuski do in any given day?
I spend a lot of time on the phone, as you can imagine. I speak to many real estate agents every day. There's a lot of off-market work that we do, and we're constantly getting phone calls from agents from all over Melbourne, giving us plugs for or opportunities to purchase properties that are for sale but not on the marketplace. I do a lot of property inspections on these properties, and also have a handful of clients which I service from day to day, which I basically do a lot of property inspections and private negotiations. And obviously auctions and so forth as well. Being the owner of the business as well, I'm obviously running a team of people as well, and just making sure everyone's keeping busy and looking after our clients. So that's pretty much the day-to-day of what my job entails.
When opportunities are presented to him for his clients, there is a wide range of properties on offer, which are then tailored to the client's needs.
You probably get those. You're based in Sydney, but you know, in Melbourne, everybody gets these annoying little pamphlets from real estate agents saying, "Look, I want to appraise your home and give you an idea of market value." You'll find that, you know, the larger agencies like your Barry Plants and your Ray Whites and your RT Edgars, they do many appraisals in all sorts of areas, and they have wonderful databases of people that are looking to sell or looking to sell in the near future. And agents are really good at keeping those databases and keeping track of when these properties come on the market. We get all sorts of different opportunities from, you know, depending on the area. Like, for example, I did one in Coburg a few weeks ago where that was a beautiful home, a single story, about a 50-year-old renovated home, heritage listed. Really, really great property. The agents gave me a call to say, "Hey, look, we've got this one that's off market." We essentially had a buy that, you know, it matched all the criteria, and we done a deal that way. We did one a few months ago in the outer west of Windenvale. You know, that's the, you know, I guess like an entry level area where we purchased an investment property for a buyer, And it, you know, the same kind of story. The agents called us up and said, look, we've got this one off market. We've done an appraisal. They don't want to go through the advertising and auction process. Do you have any buyers? And luckily we had a Sydney-based investor that was looking at the time in that area. And the stars just aligned and we were able to purchase the property. So it really just depends on the types of buyers that we're attracting because, you know, our site reaches across Melbourne. You know, it really comes down to what our customers' criteria is, and we match it up with what's in the area. Quite frequently, I would actually drop a few emails to a couple of agents and just say, hey, look, this is a kind of this is the buyer that I have at the moment, their budget and what they're looking for. Please give me a call if you have anything that matches up as well. And that's something that we also do as well, just to kind of give our clients that extra value. So,
growing up in the eastern suburbs of Victoria and completing his education there, Rybarski became familiar with the state where he would eventually create his buyer's agency business.
Yeah, I grew up on in the east side of Melbourne, and if you've ever heard of Endeavour Hills, we basically lived out that way, and I went to school in Hallam. I did my VCE, and then I moved into a Bachelor of Business. So I did that at Victoria University in Melbourne.
The influence to get into real estate stemmed from his father, who was involved in property investing in the earlier years.
My background in real estate really came from my father. He was a little bit of a real estate developer, so he was never afraid to, you know, knock down a house and build some of a unit. And I'd watch him my whole life, basically have investment properties and manage tenants and so forth. And he'd done quite well over the years. And in my younger teen years, he was, you know, buying and selling and flipping properties quite aggressively. And I just thought he was, you know, a little bit crazy at the time, because I thought, I think he owned five houses at one stage, and I just thought that's not normal. People, you're supposed to own one house, not five, and I always thought he was going to send us broke. But I'd learned through that process that the market moving upwards, and the way he was able to gain equity through the market going up and renovations and adding value to properties, he'd actually made quite a bit of money, and I realised that was a great opportunity for building a stable future for myself and I guess, you know, family moving forward. And from there, I actually moved into corporate banking. I worked for American Express after I finished university, and I serviced large clients where I sold them credit cards, and they would pay, you know, huge Telstra bills and so forth on these cards. And I just kind of realized that, you know, through watching my dad, I actually had a real big passion for property. He had helped me purchase my first property when I was 18. And I kind of just thought, you know, maybe this is a career that I want to get into, real estate, because I talk it really well and I understand it through my experience, through my dad. And maybe I should take that next step to go into real estate. And I did. I ended up working for Ray White. I moved over after a number of years of the corporate world, and I went over to work for Ray White. I did a few years there, and then I did a few years in Barry Plant as well. And then decided to get my license and start my own business. In the meantime, through that whole process, once I got into real estate in my mid-20s, I had purchased a number of investment properties since, because they were a lot cheaper back then than they are now. I'd purchased, I started doing developments. So, over the last 10 years, I've done four different developments for myself, ranging from single unit sites to three unit sites, where we knock down a house and we build, three double-storey townhouses. And that's really been my business. That's been my part-time business on top of owning a buyer's agency. I've just been developing properties for myself and for customers, and obviously running a business as well. And that's where I'm at right now. I've had the business for a number of years and serviced many, many clients and built a great network of contacts and people that I do business with on a regular basis.
The choice to pursue a career as a buyer's agent as opposed to a developer was influenced by the availability of funds and time.
With regards to full-time development, it's a pretty slow process and your funds are locked up for quite a long time. I think you need quite a bit more money and be running multiple projects at any one time to be able to do it full-time. So I think it's something I considered, but obviously it's something that you need, a lot of funds for. So with the volume of funds I have at the moment, it's all about, I'm able to, comfortably to be able to do one project at a time, and it basically, restricts you from that perspective. So, yeah, it would be nice, but, at the moment, unfortunately, it's just something that I personally can't do, but, it's something that we're working towards. I'm 37 at the moment, so I've still got a few years left in me in the sense of work and hustling, so to speak.
While his parents are now retired, his father still provides a goldmine of valuable property advice.
They're retired. My dad's in his mid-70s now, so he's a bit of an older man. He's got a holiday house down in St. Leonard's in Melbourne, which is a beachside suburb around the entry level of the Port Phillip Bay. And he spends a lot of his time just tinkling around with tools in the shed and fishing and typical things a 75-year-old does. I go up there every now and then once I have a spare moment and I try and spend a bit of time with him in the sense of fishing and so forth. But he always gives me the advice and feedback on what I should be doing better and so forth.
Having used property investing to their advantage throughout their lives, they are now able to live off the equity in their retirement, while also helping Rybarski and his sister.
They've also leveraged that wealth, I guess, into our lives as well, helping us start out and actually buy our first homes, myself and my sister. So without them, obviously, there's not many 18-year-olds that can afford to buy a house, even though it was at the time a relatively, entry-level home, it still set me up for life. And, now all of us through that, my parents and my sister and myself, investment attitude is giving us a whole life and business around that. So it's been wonderful. And it also helps, majorly that we live in one of the best cities, that is absolutely real estate obsessed. We've got, most of our TV shows are based on cooking or real estate. And, essentially we all love it. And it's something that we love adding value to. We love brushing up our homes and adding as much as we possibly can to them in that regards and developments and whatever we can do to houses. I think that the Melbourneites really love doing that kind of stuff. And same with people in Sydney. So real estate is like the passion of many, many people.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve into Rybarski's journey on the first property he ever invested in.
We bought off the plan in the outer west of Melbourne. So just to give you an idea, there's a bit of a stigma in the western suburbs of Melbourne. The whole market thinks it's something that's a bit of a rough place, and it isn't.
His vision for his property journey now?
I just know that it creates security for my family and it gives us a really good direction. It's given me a lot of purpose and passion and I share that with other people.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum and you're listening to Property Investory. Hey podcast listeners, are you enjoying listening to these stories and want more? Then head over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property case studies that I only send exclusively via email. Just one of the many benefits of being part of this community. These real case studies are from experienced property investors where they share specific numbers of their portfolio, the strategies, and much more. Simply visit propertyinvestory.com to get your free case studies. Now back to the show. Rybarski invested in his first property at the age of 18, in what he considers to be a rough area. However, he didn't let that discourage him.
We bought off the plan in the outer west of Melbourne. So just to give you an idea, there's a bit of a stigma in the western suburbs of Melbourne. The whole market thinks it's something that's a bit of a rough place, and it isn't. I guess it was back in those days, and everyone was quite concerned about capital growth and that you never make any money out there. But I purchased, not knowing anything about real estate back then. My dad helped me buy a double-story house for $187,000. It was a house and land package, and they had actually built the house. It was Henley Homes, I think. So they'd built the house, and as soon as it was finished, we put tenants in there and basically just left it. And, for a number of years, I heard a lot of people tell me how it was never going to go up in value, it was never going to go anywhere because of the location and where it is. And I kept that property, I think it was for close to 10 years, and it almost tripled when I sold it. In that time frame. So, I learned very quickly that, the property goes up everywhere across a good capital city like Melbourne. There is, it's definitely a stagnated growth. It's not something that's as consistent as the inner suburbs, but you can definitely still make some great money out there in entry-level real estate. And I mean, that's a perfect example where, you know, I had lived it and actually experienced it. Regardless of, I guess, public opinion, it had worked really well for me. So,
with Rybarski's method of buying and selling, his portfolio is a conservative yet balanced one.
At the moment, I've got I've owned four properties, and one at the moment is a development site. The development site is based in Altona, so it's a beachside suburb in the west of Melbourne, and I'm also living down that way as well. And the other properties I own are just basically the house I live in, and the others are basically units. So the leftover remnants of projects that I've done and sold off, and that's the kind of balance of what I have.
Great. That's really, really inspiring. And what are your plans for your property investing journey? Like, what's your why behind it, and what do you want to do with that portfolio once you've built it up?
Look, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I feel as though I've done everything I want to do, and I've picked up on a really good model that works, and I'm just running with it. I mean, where it's going to take me, I don't know. I actually don't have an end path. I just know that it creates security for my family, and it gives us a really good direction. It's given me a lot of purpose and passion, and you know, I share that with other people, with clients that I service, and that comes through in my business as well. So I guess the where to is, you know, I'm kind of doing the where to and just running with it at the moment and enjoying what I do. So there is no kind of, I guess, end point. You just keep running with it. So it's, I'm like my dad, I guess, in the sense where, you know, retirement was never an option for him. He just kept going, and I don't see myself slowing down. I enjoy what I do, and I love talking about it and sharing it with people, and that's what kind of portrays in my work and in the clients I service. So,
the worst moment in his property journey came when he was still green in the developing world and wasn't fully aware of the potential nightmares of holding costs.
My very first project that I did ever, I purchased a block of land, and I, you know, wanted to do a development site of three townhouses. You know, I had done all my figures and thought, yep, this is definitely going to be a great investment if I build three. My dad was suggesting I build two on the property, and just have, you know, a high quality type of property, where in the sense of, you know, larger land for each one, and each one is more of a larger townhouse rather than what I built. What I built was three double story townhouses, with like a three bedroom, one bathroom, one car garage. But the whole process was a small nightmare in the sense of holding costs. I'd purchased the property, and the council, you know, really took their time in getting the approval done. The neighbours had complained and taken us to VCAT about the development, that they weren't happy with it. And we'd spent a number of months in VCAT sorting this out. And that whole process, before we even started building, once it was all approved and done, we basically, I think something like 18 months went past of just me holding land and obviously all the costs involved in subdivision holding you know, paying people to do plans and permits and so forth. So that was quite a tough experience, being a young investor, that being my first project. And then when it came to finding a builder, that was quite a difficult challenge as well. They're all very expensive, and it had taken a big margin out of my original calculation. So it didn't actually work out how I wanted to. But thankfully, the market moved up quite a bit in that time frame, and it kind of forgave any oversights that I originally had. And the grey hairs that project gave me actually gave me a lot of wisdom as well, and knowledge in the sense of how to approach a project and what to expect, and what a normal time frame is when it comes to developing projects. So,
the lesson to be learned from this experience?
The biggest lesson is always have a strategy to fall back on when something doesn't work out the way you think it will. So, for example, always have a plan B. With my development, you know, there really wasn't a plan B for my first project that I did. It was just basically just go head first into it. And, you know, I never even thought of the fact that, you know, what would happen if something went wrong. And now every project I do now, there's always a plan B. So, you know, I've changed my strategy from back then, from doing multiple townhouses, to just buying a single dwelling, and putting another unit in the rear of something. And that's something that is really healthy for cash flows. You can claim the property on tax. And if things don't work out with council or take a long period of time, you've got tenants looking after the property and actually paying the interest off anyway. So that's my plan B, is ultimately you can always sell a property with tenants if you kind of lose out on the planning process. And that's, I think that's with everything, even that's the approach I apply to my current clients that I buy properties for, they might not think it, but I think it for them. I always think of, you know, if the market turns sour and property prices drop, how easy will this property be to sell? And that's why we basically look for properties that have, you know, a whole bunch of things that are going for it. So if our clients do need to activate a plan B, they need to sell in a bad time, we've taken that step for them, and essentially they can benefit from my knowledge and my experience and grey hairs of you know, doing projects that are quite difficult.
A moment where everything clicked into place for Rybarski happened when he absorbed all the knowledge he needed to undertake more potential developments in the future.
As soon as I finished that first development project and I'd sold everything off, that wasn't a great project in the sense of profit and how we did out of it, but I'd learned how to do it, and I'd done three properties for myself since, and each one has just been increasing in I guess margins of profit that I'd pulled from the site. And that aha moment came straight after I'd sold it and realized, hey, look, now I know what to do. I know how to do the planning process. I know how to you know, attract the right kind of builder. And thankfully my wife gave me another shot at it. She just believed in me and said, look, you know, let's just go with what you know, and we stuck together and we pushed forward and did three more projects, and they were fantastic. I would never turn back, and I'm glad I took that second step in doing it again.
So what encouraged him to move forward and overcome the shortcomings of that project?
Selling real estate, when I was working for Ray White and Barry Plant, the people I've worked for, and the real estate industry in general, and this is why the real estate industry is such a sharp one, is that generating leads was fully, fully came from me actually going out there and generating leads on my own listings. We got very little from the actual real estate office themselves. So I built a number of relationships with local builders that were doing spec homes and selling their own houses, and that was my way in on real estate and how I succeeded in selling homes. And I had seen and learned from builders that were doing exactly the same thing as me, the mum and dad kind of development sites where they'd had a couple of projects going. And I just learned from what worked in the sense of how big the properties were, how many bedrooms we should offer, where you should buy, and how they were managing their projects. And they were doing it quite successfully, pulling one off every two or three years. And they had that going for 10, 15, 20 years, some of them. And I thought, look, if they can do it, I can do it as well. And I just that gave me that confidence to think that, you know, that I could do the same thing, especially since I've done it once before. So that was, you know, I guess there was a learning curve in the original project of the actual physical experience, and then I guess learning from the knowledge and wisdom from other people in the industry while I was selling their properties in real estate gave me enough of a picture to kind of move forward and do my own thing once again.
Although the purchases he makes for clients and those he makes for himself vary, for his own property portfolio, he prefers to invest in those where he can add value.
So the model I'm doing now for myself and for, you know, clients all have different criteria. So for example, you know, I've purchased, you know, 10 unit sites for some clients, and some are your mum and dad investors that are looking for something very simple that they could just buy something and just squeeze a unit in the back. So it comes down to my clients' needs. Whatever they need is what I flex to and share my knowledge with. But as for myself, the model that I spoke about earlier was just about, you know, buying a property that you can add value to. So a small renovator, something that's 30 or 40 years old, and something that you can also put a unit in the rear of it. So you're kind of generating two properties. And the goal, the target has always been, once you complete the rear property, try and sell the front property for, you know, just about all the, you know, to cover all the costs that you've had with the renovation, the subdivision, the planning, and hopefully some of the building as well. And that way, when you sell the front one, the old renovated one, the brand new property that you've got is you know, really a low maintenance new property that is generating great rental income and has a very low level of debt. So that's the model that I'm sticking to, and that's what the model that has allowed me to own so much property in a market where property is very expensive. So
inspired by Rybarski's property journey, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode of Property Investory. We'll talk about how to apply his strategy.
Buying a property that has the potential for subdivision is probably a great place to start. So like you buy your property on a 580 square metre block of land with a nice small house that's positioned right. And
what personal habits he attributes to his success?
Hard work is just something that I do. I've always got my computer in front of me. I'm always scanning things, even when it's late night and everyone's relaxing watching TV.
And that's next time in a future episode of Property Investory. Also, if you haven't subscribed to receive your free property case studies that I only send exclusively via email, you can text me your email address to 0499881040 to subscribe. These real case studies are from experienced property investors where they share specific numbers of their portfolio, the strategies, and much more. Simply text me your email address to 0499881040 to get your free case studies. Thanks for listening.